Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions and the law. My name is Matthew Kerbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. In this episode, I interview Steve Fretzen. Fretzen is the host of the Be That Lawyer podcast, which I've been fortunate enough to guest on twice, so it was time I returned the favor. But more importantly, Fretzen helps attorneys build a book of business, which is a must if you're going to have a successful subscription practice, or any law practice for that matter. The sponsor of this podcast is 650, a business and employment legal document automation tool. When you're not billing by the hour, efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. Click the link in the show notes called Get Connected with 650 and enter your contact information for me to make a personal introduction. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode.
I'd like to welcome my friend Steve Fretzen, attorney, coach, and author, to Law Subscribed. Fretzen, welcome to the show.
What's up, Kerbis?
So I know who you are, but go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
I was born in 19... Where do you want me to go? I'll start off by telling everybody I'm not a lawyer. So no apology, just telling you the straight out. I never thought I'd work with lawyers. I got into the legal space in 2008 with the recession. And what lawyers liked about me, personality wise, I kind of get along with lawyers. B, I teach processes that are non-salesy, and most lawyers go through never wanting to sell legal services. So I got into working with lawyers in 2008 with the recession, and I helped them in two ways. I put them through a rigorous 8-month coaching and training program to basically change how they do business development, giving them methodology, processes, and language to use to make it easy and simple and even fun. And I also run peer advisory groups, helping take experienced business development and marketing lawyers into mastermind groups and help them work out challenges and support each other and accountability in a confidential environment. And that's and then when I'm not doing that, I'm marketing like crazy, books, podcasts, you name it. That's what I'm up to, man.
Yeah. And let's start with where you finished there. And then we'll get back into some of more of what you do. So at least four books, right? You've got Sales Free Selling, The Attorney's Networking Handbook, The Ambitious Attorney, and most recently, Legal Business Development Isn't Rocket Science, right?
Yeah, those are the four.
Those are them. So all available on Amazon for purchase?
Yep, all available on Amazon, Kindle, or softback.
All right.
And the most recent one, the Legal Business Development Isn't Rocket Science, has been selling like crazy. And it's also a lot of that content is on my blog too. So if people are interested in reading specific chapters or something, that's another way to grab a copy of that.
Yeah, and that's Fretzen.com, right?
Fretzen.com. Yep.
All right. Yeah. And link in the show note to that. So why was it that you decided to write books doing what you do?
You know, I never thought I'd write a book. In fact, if we go back to my scholastic history, no one thought I would write a book. Yeah, I was a C student, but I was swimming in a sea of C's, very mediocre student. You know, back in the day when we had, you know, ADHD and everyone just called us lazy and stupid. Today we medicate and it seems to be helping my teenager quite a lot. I was sitting in a restaurant with my wife and one of my most successful clients. This is pre-lawyer and his wife. And he said, "Steve, I have the book for you to write." And I go, "What do you mean you have the book?" He goes, "There's a book called The Goal, which is how to run sort of like a manufacturing company from an operational standpoint. And it's written as a story as opposed to a how-to." And he goes, "You should write your process," because he loved my process and the systems I had taught him. And he says, "You should write that as a story with characters and you're the coach and da 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 da." And I was intrigued by it. And I read The Goal and I said, "You know what? I think I could write this book." lo and behold, I didn't realize it was very, very difficult for me to write that book, because how-to books are very easy for me to write. Writing actual like conversations and he said, and I said, and she said, very much a different type of book, but I knocked it out. I don't know. It took me a year and a half or something. And I just loved it. I loved writing it. I loved promoting it. I loved handing it out to people and having them come back to me and tell me it was really easy to read and it quite enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I think I'm onto something here.
Yeah. Yeah. And your joke at the beginning reminded me of the old joke. You know, my grandfather just finished his first book recently. Yeah. You know, he's thinking about reading a second one next year.
Exactly.
So obviously, you know, the book writing thing has gone well for you because you've written many of them. And at least these, you know, you're focusing on, with a lot of them focusing on attorneys. What's the difference between, you know, coming to you as a coach versus just reading your books? Do they work well together? Could you get just one or the other? Do you recommend that your actual, you know, the attorneys you're coaching also read your books? What is that like?
So, look, I've read books on how to play better golf. I've read books on fishing. I've read books on all these, you know, cooking, all these different skills, right? Ultimately, you can pick up some ideas and you can pick up some some tricks and ways of doing things from those kinds of mediums. Ultimately, you know, it's not the same as getting on a golf course with a pro and spending 6 months, 8 months with a pro. I mean, you do that, you're going to be a far better golfer than reading some books. So it's a lot about it comes to the personalization of that coaching provides, the internalization of that content, and then the execution on the field and the feedback. So there's an old saying, practice makes perfect. And I totally disagree. Practice can make you better. What I like is the Lombardi flavor of it, which is perfect practice makes perfect. And what I'm doing with my clients is not just, you know, coaching them on skills, but I'm on teaching them skills, but they'll call me up and say, look, I just had this meeting. Here's what happened. Here's how it went. And I'm able to just poke a bunch of holes in what they did, didn't do, et cetera, what just went down. And then to give them that really constructive feedback that in some cases actually gets them back in and to save a deal that is probably going south or maybe going south because they missed a bunch of steps or they didn't have the proper, you know, direction or language that they used in that meeting. So that's what a lot of coaching is providing that feedback, accountability, and things you just aren't going to get from a book.
Yeah. The podcast has been focused on attorneys who are doing innovative things with legal services. But even if you have all that stuff right, with a subscription model and you've got it launched and you've been a long time listener of Law Subscribed, if you can't bring in business, it's just not going to succeed. And so, we met because you had me on your podcast a year ago, and now I've been back on your show. So I know this is kind of an early in the episode for a plug, but everyone should go listen to Steve Fretzen's podcast, Be That Lawyer. Link in the show notes. And he has the best guests ever. And I'm not just saying that because I've been on there twice.
The best guests have been there twice.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Kirby's.
That is absolutely the best. I've been there twice. So all the way back then, a year ago, and your show was the first time I ever announced that I was starting Law Subscribed. So then I also had to, I was committed at that point.
Yeah.
I had to do it. But even since then, I always ask my guests at the end off record, who else should I have on the show now? And I've had multiple people tell me, well, you need an attorney coach. You absolutely need one because if you're not bringing in business, you can't succeed. And I think we're gonna dive in and talk more about that. So other than like the specific examples that you gave, like when somebody asked you, you know, what is an attorney coach? Like, what does that even do? You know, I know basketball coach. You know, I know sports coach. You know, is it similar? In what ways is it similar or different from that?
You know, it's someone that can dissect what the problems are, what the challenges are, what's not working. Help someone plan and execute on that plan to achieve goals, to learn skills, to, not make the same mistakes. I mean, ultimately, lawyers feel like they're on a roller coaster going up and down, busy, not busy, or busy doing work, not busy getting business, which ultimately, you know, pays the bills and ultimately helps someone to be sustainable. So my job is to figure out where their gaps are, figure out where those mistakes are being made. There's a lack of process, lack of plan, whatever it might be. And I always, first thing I do when I meet someone is evaluate, right? And in some instances, like there's a table that's loaded with money and they've been walking around it for years because they just didn't have that expert set of eyes looking at it, or they knew that it was there. They just never had the confidence or the language. Again, I hate to say it, it comes down to, you know, how do I ask this question? How do I get a referral from a client? How do I, you know, open up doors to cross market when I don't even know where to start with that? These are things that are not taught in law school. So I've actually combined coaching and training. Most of my, I don't know, competitors who are also, by the way, my friends, mostly do coaching. They're not really doing I actually run a class. People come to a class and they learn all these skills. So I've combined training and coaching together to get better results for my clients so that they can hone all these skills. But ultimately it comes down to, how are we connected? Are we feeling we're a good team? Number one. Number two is, how are we, you know, building those skills? And then how am I helping my clients get better and better and better and better, so that when they leave me, it's not, oh, I shouldn't have spent that money or made that investment. It's now I'm on fire. I'm an assassin. I can go and get the business year after year after year, and ultimately live the better life. That's why Law Subscribed and the thing I help lawyers with is, how do you live a well-balanced life? You don't want to be on your deathbed. If I'd only build 10 more hours a month, you know, that's not how anybody should go.
Right.
Right. But it's, you know, I spent time with my family. I took the trips I wanted to take. I have the boat I want to have. And money wasn't the deciding factor in how I lived my life.
Right. Right. That's really important. So is there, I mean, I'd like you to go like more into that. Like, why is it important to build a book of business?
So ultimately what we know is that whether you're a solo or whether you're at a big firm, power, control, and balance for most attorneys now and into the future is based on their book of business. Okay. Because if things go bad at your firm and you don't have a book of business and your hours slow down, your boss is a jerk, the firm gets bought and now you're dealing with new people. They cut your salary in half. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, did we learn nothing from the recession in 2008 where all that went down? Okay. Having your own book of business is the single most important thing you can do as a lawyer to have job security. Okay. You have a book of business of $1 million and you want to go solo. You got plenty of business. You can hire an associate or two. You can run your own firm. You want to take that book and go somewhere else to another firm. You have the ability to be portable and do that. And when you don't have that, you have not only the clients that are your bosses, but then you may have 4 or 5 people giving you work. They're your bosses. So now you got 9 bosses. It's almost like office space. I have 13 bosses. What? Yes. 13 people telling me what to do. So we're really trying to get lawyers' mindset around, you know, get your business development skills honed, get your marketing chops up, build your book of business, and then you can decide how big you want to be or not. It's up to you, but you'll have the power to dictate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even sometimes like a small book is enough to get started, but anything is better than no book of business.
Yeah. I mean, a solo with $100,000 where they're making, you know, $60,000 a year, for some people that live in certain areas, that's going to be lovely, especially, you know, if their spouse works and they can spend time with the kids. Other people would never want that little. They would want, you know, $500,000 at the minimum where they're making $300,000, $350,000. Okay. That's all possible when you have business development skills, when you have the ability to go out and get business and develop relationships in a way where you're not spinning your wheels and wasting your time. You're doing it in the most productive way possible. You're going to have that balance.
Right. You talked earlier on about you have this 8-month program, you have peer-to-peer. Let's talk a little bit about more what that looks like. Tell me, like, if somebody signed up, you know, for the 8-month program, you know, what could they expect? I mean, without giving away too much of the secret sauce, obviously.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna, you know, share too much about it. But ultimately, the easiest way to think about this is a sports analogy. Okay, if you're a great high school basketball player, okay, what does it take to get to college? You need a great coach. You need a great regimen of working out. You need to have discipline. You need to know the plays. You need to score the baskets or play the D or both. Okay. If you have the right systems in place and coaching in place, you can get to college. That was hard, but nothing like getting to the NBA. Getting to the NBA is a whole other level of competitiveness. How many basketball players in college actually make it to the NBA. It's very few. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in business development, the program that I've devised for a reason is 6 months of classes where you learn all the skills, role play the different skills, get to practice and improve all those business development skills, all these soft skills, right? And they're all non-salesy. So I'm not teaching people how to hard sell, convince, pitch. I'm teaching relationship building. I'm teaching how do we build trust? How do we ask questions? How do we demonstrate empathy? How do we get someone bought into us as the top? It's almost more about perception than it is about reality. How do we get someone to believe that I'm the right fit? Now, obviously, you got to be a great lawyer. If you suck at that, forget it. Then we're in trouble anyway. But if you're a great lawyer and it's just about getting that business in the door and winning the beauty contest and in having a training class with other lawyers that are trying to accomplish the same thing is a huge part of my deliverable. Then it's one-on-ones for 8 months, working with individuals every single month, making sure that they're tracking their activity. We're seeing improvements. You know, I have somebody that has all these meetings, 10, 20 meetings a month, but they're not getting anything out of it. Right. So I say, hey, are you a professional meter? No. Okay. Well, then we need to look at what's going on in these meetings so that we can get you the conversions to prospects, conversions to decision makers. How do we get you better strategic partners, people that can refer you cases, matters, et cetera. Okay. So the accountability is there. And then I'm also available pretty much anytime for my clients on call. So they have a meeting on Friday. They call me up on Wednesday. Hey, I got this meeting on Friday. I want to talk to you about it. And I'm available for that. So I only take on about 30 lawyers a year, Curbis, so that I'm not overwhelmed, A, and B, I'm able to spend the real significant amount of time with each client that engages me. And listen, I'm not the cheapest guy in the block. I'm also not the most expensive. But from a value perspective, people that leave my program, they've got it internalized. They're not leaving and then 2 months later going, geez, what I learned. I'm making sure that when they leave, they've got this stuff down and they're actually executing and doing it and getting results as we go. And then when they leave, they sometimes convert over to my roundtable because the roundtable's for assassins and business development, you know, superstars. And I can bring them over to a roundtable and have them mastermind with other superstars. And that's a much, you know, less involved program, but that's a great way for them to segue from one program into another without missing a beat. Now they've still got me on retainer. They've got accountability. They've got all these other superstars around them to talk about their problems if they have them, talk about their successes and just kind of collaborate on best practices to grow.
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LawSubscribed at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney, or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form at scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LawSubscribed at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
Right. And from what I understand, you actually have some minimum threshold requirements if you want to be in one of those peer-to-peer groups. So you have like different versions of them, right? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I've got the Business Developers Roundtable, which is for attorneys that generally have books of business under $1 million. Now, if you're a solo and you've got a book of 650 and you're making a huge income, that would be similar to someone that's doing $1 million at a firm, right? So I look at all that, but the other piece of it is the business developers, those are mostly lawyers at firms in non-managerial executive roles, right? They're just out trying to crush it, build a book of business. And if they get into a manager role, managerial role or some type of leadership role, they may want to leave that group and they may want to cross over to the other group, which is called the Rainmakers Roundtables. That's for attorneys that do a million and higher. And I've got attorneys that do on the low end, a million, on the high end, 10, and they get together and collaborate. And that ends up being more than just business development. It's marketing, it's operations, it's management, it's people. People are the problem, right? So talking about people all the time. And in any of these groups, not only do we roundtable challenges, we talk about what everyone's doing that's working. I also bring in guests. I bring in lawyers that are doing 30 million to talk about how they got there. I'm bringing in marketing experts. I'm bringing in health and wellness experts, time management experts. So they're getting not only me, but they're getting all my network of these amazing, you know, resources, people I've interviewed on my podcast that I become friends with. That they then can learn from. And they're always blown away by the people I bring in because they're just giving an entirely different view of things that they just haven't thought of or heard of. And I love that I can collaborate with other legal experts, people in the legal industry to share that wisdom with my groups.
All right. And just in case everyone wasn't listening, Fretz and dropped that he has a podcast again. So if we haven't.
I did drop that. It slipped right through. Oh my God.
If we didn't mention that enough. If we didn't mention.
What's it called? I forget.
I think it's about something that lawyer. Oh, be that lawyer.
Oh, be that lawyer. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. I forget. Yeah. I've got a bad memory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Fretzen.com. So there you go. No. And you know, in case you know somebody's listening and they're thinking, I know lawyers. I'm a lawyer. I know other lawyers. I could just get together with lawyers on my own and chat. Like, what's the difference? Like, what is that value proposition of actually joining a paid, you know, roundtable mastermind?
There's so much going on in the sense of camaraderie, collaboration, confidentiality, an expert facilitator, talking them through, you know, and facilitating a quality meeting. I also have them set themselves up. I work with them on setting up what are called accountability buddy groups. So they're actually meeting with members of their group on a weekly basis to make sure that business development gets done and to hold each other accountable. So there's so many moving parts. And I'm not saying people couldn't just get together with lawyer friends and stuff, but that's not going to be anywhere near kind of what I'm doing in the facilitation and the guests and the accountability and all the collaboration that's going on. And everybody's qualified to be there in the sense of everybody's hungry for business, interested in business. We don't have any kind of like loose cannons. We don't have any jerks. Like everybody's amazing. Like that's the thing that people don't understand about my life. Although my wife hears it occasionally, and maybe you do. I work with the smartest, nicest, best people, most intelligent people, and they're all lawyers. And people are, oh, you work with lawyers. That must be difficult. No, it's the opposite of difficult. It's the best because the egomaniacs and the jerks, and I could use other expletives, I don't work with any of them because they know everything already. Just ask them. They'll tell you, right? So I'm getting all the good qualified people. And I and the other people can go, you know, can go stick their head in the mud. You know, I don't need them.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, as the subscription attorney, I can't help but, you know, look at what you're doing and just see subscription all over it, though, right? You have lawyers, I'm assuming, paying you month to month, you know, for your one-on-one coaching program and training, right? And then you've got these mastermind, you know, these roundtable groups, which is kind of like a membership, which is a subscription. I'm assuming they're also paying month to month, right? So you've got kind of two subscription models going on at the same time, right?
I do. I mean, the main program is flexible in the sense if somebody wants to cut a check, they cut a check. If somebody wants me to work out terms for them, I try to be, you know, flexible on that. So, but it is a package. It's not something where I'm working hourly. It's not something where I used to do a lot of that. And here's the thing. I was finding that some people were getting results and some people weren't. And I don't like that. I don't like taking the risk that someone's not going to get where they want to go. And so when I, you know, when you try different things, the goal is to figure out what works and what doesn't. And so, I mean, I even tried an e-learning platform. I had an e-learning thing called Origination Station, which is like a really great name I came up with for this video-based learning. And it was a total disaster because lawyers, A, don't necessarily want to watch video. They don't, you know, they'd rather listen to something than watch something. And B, it's like someone would either take in all the content in like a day or they would not watch it at all. And so they weren't getting value when they're not going to do something, there's no accountability to it. There's no coaching element to it. So again, if you have a subscription that you're not using, you should get rid of it. If it's a subscription that you're going to use, you're going to love it and keep it. What's the one I'm hot on right now? HBO Max. Like that has the best content, in series and shows. Like I'm not getting rid of that subscription.
Yeah. That's one of the ones where now they also have kid content with Sesame Street, right?
Okay.
So they got everything. Yeah, that's a hard.
That's in my rear view. That's in my rear view mirror, my friend. My kid's 15 watching crap on YouTube.
and that you could subscribe to whatever their premium service is. I forget what they call it, right? And YouTube has a subscription.
Oh yeah, I've got the premium. I don't watch commercials. There's like my time is too valuable to, so I pay whatever $10 a month to never see a commercial again on YouTube. It's been the best investment ever.
Yeah, value proposition, right? What's the value prop of the
upsell?
Of the
upselling, baby.
Oh yeah. So I don't know if I don't think lawyers could do the freemium model like YouTube and other subscriptions.
No, it doesn't work so great.
No, but you've mentioned on your podcast, when I've been on your podcast, how you've had attorney clients who have tried out the subscription model before. I mean, without getting into who they are and what did or didn't work necessarily, within your ethical requirements, to not say anything too far. What was some of the feedback that you got? Some things you learned about it as you were coaching them. Anything that you could share to my audience on that would be super valuable.
Yeah, I just think you have to have a well thought out understanding of what people's needs are and what the package is that you're going to set up to solve those problems. They generally fall within that structure that you've created. And that the pricing makes sense for everybody. And so one of my clients was, selling just as an example, like labor and employment, defense side labor and employment. And let's just call it, $5,000 a month, but you've got her on retainer, $5,000 a month. And, some months it could be eight, some months it could be two, but ultimately she figured out that at $5,000 a month, how many clients does she need to get to 30, 40, 50,000 a month? It adds up pretty quick. And right. Sometimes they need her a lot when there's a trial or something. And sometimes, less so. Or sometimes there's like, this is how much it is a month. But then if you have a trial that's going to get into the weeds, then it's not included in this. And we've got to actually, but at that point, they're going to want to use her because she's the, their main counsel at that point. So that's a high-end subscription model. But ultimately, it's just saying, hey, look, you pay me X. This is the package you're going to get. And people love it because they love that they don't have to look at their clock to say, how do I keep this call under 15 minutes? How do I, not get nickel and dime? They just like the idea that it's a predictable fee structure that they can work within.
Right. And subscription add-ons are all the rage right now. Outside.
I just mentioned YouTube. I just said it right there. I did it. No problem. It was a value add. It was an upsell. I saw value. I do that all the time.
Right. And it's, they're already paying her $5,000 a month. So they're already going to her, right? And they're already not afraid to call her. So she's able to develop those relationships, further with the clients who are subscribed. Yeah. And so it's a no-brainer for them when they need something that goes outside of the subscription that they're going to come to her. Mm-hmm. And any other success stories, any failures that you could share?
I mean, only my own with that video-based training I did. Holy mackerel. I think that also was a problem with, I just didn't really have the marketing chops to do it right. I think that's a problem is you're selling a subscription model is great. And it's got so many upsides, but there's a marketing component to it that you need to make sure you either hire someone to help you with it, or you need to just learn enough to muscle through it and make sure that you're marketing it properly to differentiate yourself from others. But I think, ultimately, there's a lot of attorneys doing subscription models. They're just not calling it that, right? They're charging, set fees for estate plans, set fee for real estate transactions, and some of that is one time, one and done. In other cases, they're going to set up, a fee structure for additional work that needs to be done.
Right. Cause at the end of the day, the mission of Law Subscribed is let's ditch the billable hour.
Yeah.
It's really only really good for the attorneys at the top, and it's great for them. So they're never going to want to change it. Right.
Right.
But there's a lot of, a lot can be gained from even just alternative fee arrangements like flat fees. Right. If you're here's an estate plan, it costs X amount, but you're going to pay Y over Z months. you know, and that's kind of a subscription, you know, it's like a flat fee spread out. Right. So, so there's also,
I have a divorce attorney that's doing that. So instead of saying this divorce is 20 grand, he's saying, look, it's a, you know, it's $1,000 a month flat fee. I'll handle your divorce. And again, if there's things that are, you know, extenuating circumstances, you know, then he can talk to them about it. But generally speaking, you know, he's just everybody's on subscription. Everybody's through that package and he's locking up tons of business and no one's really balking at the numbers because it's not 20 grand or it's not 650 an hour. It's $1,000 a month and they get that. And then they know what's coming every month.
Yeah. And that's, I'm assuming a litigator. I mean, that's divorce.
That's a litigator. It's a divorce attorney.
Yeah. I mean, that's really something. I mean, I'm assuming he's been practicing for a while because he could see, okay, you know, I make about 20 grand on divorce cases or they take about 20 months, you know, so what do I charge per month? You know, if you have enough experience, that's something that you could easily kind of break down. And then you're not tracking your time, which frees up your time to do more business development, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So that's great. Oh, I'm so glad you shared that because I think those stories are going to be really valuable. You know, any other, you know, you've been doing this, like you said, since 2008. Any other examples that you've had of working with attorneys just who are doing innovative things, maybe some innovative things that worked, maybe some innovative things with law practice that hasn't worked, you know, where you've had to, you know, coach them about this or that or how that's going to affect their business development in a positive or negative way?
I just think that the key elements that lawyers need right now is they need automation. They need technology and automation because they're just doing everything themselves and they can't, that's just not going to work. It's not sustainable. I think they have to understand the virtual world and that it's not about how many people you hire and how many employees you have. It's how much can you outsource? How much can you take off your plate? And then ultimately it comes down to marketing and business development, either doing it yourself or outsourcing it because you need to get the business in the door. And if you don't understand how business development and relationships work or how the marketing side works, again, different people will lean on marketing versus business development based on the kind of practice they have. A personal injury might want to do more marketing where others might want to, you know, in other practice areas might want to do more business development, networking, relationships, things like that. So those are kind of the most important things that lawyers need to be thinking about right now. And again, if there's anything that you can set up as a package, as a subscription, as a just a way to kind of have a flat fee and not have to deal with the hours, and you know it's going to work out for everybody. Yeah, I mean, you know, take the bull by the horns.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great way to pretty much wrap this up. I just have one more question for you, Fretzen, and it's a question I ask all my guests, and that is a hot dog a sandwich, and why?
Wow. From Chicago, is a hot dog a sandwich? We normally don't consider it a sandwich, but I think it is. You've got the bread, you've got the meat, you've got the condiments, burger, sandwich. Like if I'm looking at a menu and it says sandwiches, generally the burger is going under there and the hot dog's just a round burger. It's just a different shaped, you know, hamburger, if you will. So, you know, meat on a bread. So yes, it's a sandwich.
All right. Well,
is that the right answer, by the way?
I may reveal the right answer on some future episode.
Okay. Keep us in suspense.
But that's your answer. And if that's
my
your,
answer,
if
so
that's
like, clearly truth. It's wrong because you're not being cagey.
So far, no one's given the right answer.
Maybe, there you go.
Tip to future guests if they're listening now. Maybe it's a false question.
Is a pizza a sandwich?
I think it's maybe the same answer to the real answer of is a hot dog a sandwich?
If you roll it up properly, sandwich, open face, less so.
This is why people come to the Law Subscribed podcast.
This is a different, we need to do a different show, a food show.
This is how they all end. And I promise there will be a compilation episode in the future of every guest's answer. So thanks again for coming on the show. Fretzen, if people want to follow up with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I'm all over LinkedIn. So that's easy. Just type my name in LinkedIn, Steve Fretzen. If you want to go to my website and check that out, it's Fretzen.com. And again, all four books on Amazon. And my latest one, Legal Business Development, is a rocket science international bestseller. Check it out. And I think you'll like it. I think law school just bought a bunch of copies. I got a big check from Amazon. So we'll see if I can get those law school students start to think intelligently about, you know, what it's going to take.
That's a whole other episode, what they don't teach you in law school.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Fredson. Until next time.
Thanks, Curvis.
Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for sponsoring this show. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with someone you think would find a value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email curbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Curbis with Law Subscribed.